verse 5, then we're going to skip down to verse 18. And reading out of the New King James Version, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, we know that word gifts is italicized, and it is the word that means things of the Spirit or things pertaining to another, the Holy Spirit. But especially that you may prophesy, for he that speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Verse 3, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So we'll skip down to verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Amen. And so we talked last week just briefly and covered ground last week, and when we talked about the Bible tells us that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. So we said that there are one filling and many refillings. Just like you have to use gas, put gas in your car for it to go, you have to get filled with the Holy Spirit to stay in the flow. Okay? So it's power for living life. Don't leave home without being filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit, we said. Praying in tongues is not a one-time or end of your Holy Spirit infilling. It's the beginning. Amen. The word in the that we read from Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So ever filled, be filled, be filled. The Greek word literally means be being filled. In other words, it's a continuing process to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a continual act of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So think about it. You ate food this past week, past Wednesday to this Wednesday, and I'm sure nobody didn't eat anything for the whole week, right? And, of course, I'm sure you drank water or some liquid to hydrate yourself. Didn't we all? Amen. So you have to hydrate on the Holy Spirit. You have to hydrate on the Holy Spirit. So you drink of the Spirit. Look at somebody next to you. Poke them in the back if you're behind them. Look around at them if you're in front of them and say, drink the Spirit.
Drink the Spirit.
So how much did you drink the Spirit this past week? Now, the scripture is not a suggestion, right? Ephesians 5:18 was not a suggestion. The Greek word is very poignant and very pertinent, and it says to us that we must maintain a filled status. So always filled, always stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So you ought to walk out of the house high on the Most High. Amen? So praying in tongues was not to be remotely once, is not to be remotely all there is. We need to get filled and stay filled so that power can carry us through life. And so we see Paul putting an emphasis on tongues, and so we see in verse 5, he says, the first part of it, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now he's speaking, but he's speaking by the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I wish you all, family, spoke with tongues. Now, you put that in your own context, your family. If you were speaking to your family, and reading them this verse, you would say to your family, your kids, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Amen? And then he says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So is tongues insignificant or preeminent? according to Paul, it's preeminent. Paul put a preeminence on tongues. And we said it's a sign of this dispensation. We said it's praying in tongues is a form of supernatural communication. It is the best way to talk to God. It is your spirit praying. Your head is praying in English or whatever language you're using. Your spirit is praying. When it prays in tongues. When your spirit speaks, it speaks in tongues. We read that last week, 1 Corinthians 14:14. When I speak with tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So the Spirit gives you utterance, the phrases, the words to say, but you do the speaking. That's why even people in comas, physically in a coma, their brain's kind of suspended, they're not awake, but their spirit can respond. I think I told you about that one guy I was with, I was asked to go minister to in a coma. Well, his body was almost flatlined. But when I spoke, I wasn't speaking to his body. I was speaking to the real person. I called his name. Because they gave me his name, of course. I didn't know him. And his family's right there. And his spirit was trying to come out of his body. But I was addressing his spirit. The real you is who? Your spirit. And we said the spirit realm is the natural realm for your spirit man. But you need spiritual food and water. Food is like the word. Water is like the spirit. What happens if you don't eat food and water in the natural? You become anemic or malnutritious, right? Malnourished, and you become weak. Isn't that right? Your energy level gets low. What happens when you don't get food and water in the spirit? If you don't get, you don't feed your spirit the word of God, that's faith food for your spirit. If you don't drink of the spirit, which is your natural condition of your spirit, your newborn recreating your spirit, to live off the spirit. You're born again by the spirit. You're spirit born. You're spirit formed. You need spirit food and spirit drink. Amen? Now, most folks don't teach this stuff because they say, well, just go to church. But it's more than just coming to church. It's making sure your spirit man is being fed. Amen? And we endeavor to do that, okay, for you by the grace and help and to the glory of God. All right, tongues are not for preaching and teaching. So tongues, we see Paul, we read it last week, was not laying out to us teaching people with tongues. They're for your private, personal devotions. Or if there are a ministry gift of tongues, they are for ministry to others and that the church may receive edifying through tongues and interpretation. But tongues are for prayer, tongues are for praise and worship to God. We read the scriptures last week. We said Paul gave preeminence to speaking in tongues, excuse me, and praying in the spirit or praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. So we said, when you don't know what to do, what do? Pray in the spirit. Now, the objective is not just to pray in the spirit for a little bit. You pray for a purpose to pray until you get a note of victory. Now, you work with the Holy Spirit to find out how's that note of victory comprehend to you. But basically, it's this. When the burden lifts, when you get answers. Direction, we said. Correction. And a timing. So you get direction, what to do, what am I supposed to do? Correction, could be course correction. Okay, change this. Or timing, you know. Okay, when am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this? Where am I supposed to do this? So you get answers. You haven't got victory until you got answers. Amen? Or if you don't know what you're praying about and God gives you got a revelation, you're praying about something or someone else, the note of victory comes as a burden lifting off of you. Because if you get a burden to pray for something or about something or pray for someone, then the burden must lift. That means you've prayed it through. Notice the language I'm using. We prayed it through. The burden is lifted. Things will shift. Why? Because the spirit realm always overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. So anything you see in the natural and the Lord moves you to pray about it because you don't know what to do, then you pray until you pray through.
Amen.
You got an answer, wisdom, direction, timing, correction, or you got the burden lifted. And that's where God uses you outside your own borders of your own house. See, you get promoted in prayer. Because sometimes people don't respond to their spirit for their individual situations. These are ABCs of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know how to get this. God doesn't want anything messed up, jacked up in our houses, in our families. Amen? And it sure doesn't take 12 months or 12 years of therapy to rehabilitate everything. You're listening to me? Why am I saying it like that? Because remember the principle, the premise, or the statement I made last week. You're not praying in the Spirit long enough to tap into my wisdom. And that's based on the statement of why, or question of why aren't things happening? What's taking too long? How come I'm not getting any answers? Well, the answer is you're not praying in the Holy Spirit long enough to tap into his wisdom. And I gave you the illustration of Gloria Copeland about her son. She said, but the prophet of God, the man of God said, those that pray in 1 hour a day, life will be different. You'll walk and live in the supernatural. You pray in the spirit 1 hour or more a day, life will be different, and you'll walk and live in the supernatural. You want to walk and live in the supernatural because it's unnatural for your spirit man to always walk around in carnality. That means your body ruled, not spirit ruled. Your body conscience and not spirit conscience. Everybody get that? And so if you're bumping up against something and you don't have answers and you don't hear direction or get wisdom, now you got to pray in the spirit. Because you don't know what you should pray for as you ought. That's what that scripture talks about, Romans 8:26. But the spirit himself, he takes hold together with you against that situation. So your senior partner in all the pain, pressure, problems of life is the Holy Spirit. He's your senior partner. He takes hold together with you against that. And he said, come on, let's break through this situation. He does that by giving you the right words to say when you pray. But he's helping you pray. He's not praying for you. He's helping you pray. He helps you pray by giving you utterance, the right words to say.
Amen.
Everybody getting this?
Yes.
This is real good stuff now. Because remember, he said in James, if any is afflicted, that means suffering evil, going through a trial or test or tribulation, problems, pain, pressure, right? He said, let him pray. So we all have a responsibility to do our own praying. Now, one good thing that Brother Hagin, when he was a pastor, he said he learned this early on when he was a young pastor. He said, okay, people would come to him for, Brother Hagin, I want to talk to you about something. And, you know, everybody's got stuff going on. You know, don't feel guilty or embarrassed when you got stuff. The devil's a meanie, right?
Yes.
he's a persistent cuss. He comes all the time. to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's no surprise that the devil's messing with you. He should be, because you're a child of God and you're trying to do the will of God. Amen? And so he's going to come at you. So he's coming at one of the members several times, and he said, okay. He said, okay. But he knows that he's not the source of answers. Just like I know, I'm not the source of answers. Because I don't know everything going on with the situation, seen and unseen. Now, you don't either. Yes, that's right. We think we sometimes know what's going on with somebody. And we assume that we psychoanalyze it enough that we got all the answers, all the problem figured out, when we don't even look at the spiritual side of things. There's always a spiritual root cause. Always. You've always heard me say this. 99.9% of all issues are spiritual. The Bible says we don't even wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. Your struggle's not with a child, a spouse, a family member. That's not your struggle. He said, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness. You're contesting with unseen forces, unseen enemies. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to see them. He sees them. You got authority over them. But he helps you deal with them correctly. Amen? We think we got to figure it out because some psychologist, some counselor has told us this is your problem. That might not be your problem. Unless the Holy Spirit says it. Amen? The Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we do not war after the flesh. That even, and what basically, let's put it in 2017 phraseology, so simple phraseology. We exist in the natural in 2017. You're a spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that correct? And so though you exist in both dimensions, spirit realm and natural realm, you don't war after this natural order, meaning flesh and blood. War after the flesh. Your war is spiritual war. That's good enough to me. The Bible tells me this is a spiritual war. That means I can't fight spiritual with natural weapons or natural things. You've got to deal with spiritual things. Now, the advantage you and I have is twofold. One, we have the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. He said he will abide with us forever. He's in us, and he'll be with us forever. You always have access to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? And our contest or conflict with our spiritual opponents, we have an advantage because they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually defeated. Jesus did it for us. So through our authority by his name and through his authority, we can exercise or release authority against him and reinforce his victory over them. So you're not fighting somebody who's to try to get victory. In other words, it's not a fight for victory. It's a fight from victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just because you're born, you might not feel like victory. You might not even look like victory. The situation doesn't look like victory right now, but you're victorious. Everybody said, thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God who always gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. I've got the victory. So you have to say that. But the devil will try to meet you up, close you off, don't get you to pray, and all you do is reason. If you stay in the reason realm, the mental realm, the logical realm, he's going to whip you 100 times out of 100. Because he's the author of complexity. He's the author of confusion. He's the author of critical thinking. He will come in and get you to deduce your life to nothing and say, I'm not nothing. Why nothing never happens to me? How come everything never doesn't go right in my situation? And he'll have you speak in his language instead of speaking the spirit language. Everybody good? All right, so I went way off base. Sorry, John. And all right, so let's talk real quick about why everybody should be speaking in tongues, and then, of course, we'll talk about some misconceptions. Because it's not our job just to keep Revelation a secret. We got lots of people that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they need to understand why it's important. So let's go through these 10 reasons real quick. Number one, it's the initial sign. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it was the initial sign. It was a sign in Acts 19. It was a sign in Acts chapter 10, 44 through 43. So we see sign after sign. Every sign that Jesus said that would be a sign of this dispensation, Mark 16:17, that in my name they shall speak with new tongues. These signs will accompany those believing ones. Now they accompany who? The believers. The Holy Spirit is not for the world to receive, the unsaved to receive. There's one gift for the sinner, and that's salvation through Jesus Christ. Then once you become saved and born again, then there's one gift for the believer, one major gift for the believer, the gift of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. In the new birth experience, you're born of the Spirit. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit. One experience, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. The other experience, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. Don't get it confused. Amen. All right, and so we see that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were already born again, but now they had qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Your body contains the Holy Spirit, the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, tongues build you up. We just read it. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. That's good, isn't it? Edifies himself. In other words, we would say charges his battery. Charges himself like a battery. Now, we know what happens with your phone. What happens with your phone when your phone loses charge? Does it work? I don't care if you got the iPhone 8 or the Samsung, was a Galaxy, what's the latest, XS8 or whatever the highest level, you might have the latest technology, but if it's not charged, will that phone cut on? Will that phone work? Same thing with your spirit. You and I must stay spiritually charged. Amen? Now, I like how the Amplified says it. He that speaks in tongue edifies and improves himself. So, in other words, the greatest self-help is not at Barnes & Noble or Borders Bookstore. The greatest self-help is praying in the Holy Spirit to build yourself up. Now, who in this room would not want to build yourself up? Improve. This is spiritual improvement, spiritual edification, spiritual building. Why? Because your spirit man needs to maintain the ascendancy and the dominance over your mind or your soul and your body. Remember, if you don't charge your spirit, just think about that battery indicator that gets down to red. Now it's alerting you. Your body's getting ready to take over. Your body getting ready to take over. Your body's getting ready to take over. Because your body going to be ready to take over. You're going to get out of the spirit and into the flesh. And you may wonder, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I act like that? Why? Because you didn't maintain your spiritual charge. Isn't that good? Amen. Glory to God. Number three, tongues reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. Because every time you pray in the Holy Spirit, your spirit is spiritually aware of Him. He's giving you the utterance. You're speaking the utterance, so you're aware of His presence. Well, what happens? You're conscious of the God on the inside of you. You're God inside minded. And that's where we live, friends. We're supposed to live with our spirit man, spirit conscious and not body conscious. We're supposed to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. And when you see and sense the Holy Spirit's presence, you have confidence that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Isn't that wonderful? That's good. Number four. Tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. We just read that, talked about that. Romans 8:26-27. Number five, praying in tongues stimulates faith. Jude 20 tells us, beloved, building yourself up upon your most holy faith. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, but what does praying in the Holy Spirit do? It stimulates your faith. Now, one of the best secrets is pray in the Spirit, then read your Bible. Or vice versa, read your Bible, then pray in the Spirit. Now, you always read the Bible out loud. Does everybody hear me? So the Bible was spoken so it can be written so it can be spoken again. One of the main ways you should be speaking the word is in your Bible reading. In your daily Bible reading, you should be reading out loud for your own ears to hear yourself read God's word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, and when you read that word, faith comes, but then you stimulate or activate your faith and get your faith focused on things, you pray in the Spirit. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. Number six, speaking in tongues is a means of keeping free from worldly contamination. One of the biggest horrible sins is sins of the mouth. Why is that so big deal, Pastor? Especially if I don't cuss. But if you talk doubt, fear, and unbelief, it's like spiritual contraband to God. It's just like you smoking drugs or shooting up hard drugs and snorting cocaine and crack. It's spiritual contraband. God even said in Malachi, remember, your words are stout against me because of just your idle talk. Saying it's not make no use. I don't seem like I have enough money. And you just flippantly run your mouth. You get snared with the words of your mouth. What helps harness that is to pray in the Spirit, because you now have more body control. And James tells us the tongue no man can tame, but no man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can help you tame your tongue and keep your tongue in line. Sometimes it's important when you're really upset or maybe something really hurts you, you pray in the Spirit until you get your spiritual focus back, and then you can speak about something. But you'll speak about it from a position of faith and a position of victory, not a position of frustration and fretfulness. All right? And so it helps keep the world contamination out. The easiest way, Psalms 39 tells us, it says, take heed to my ways. I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked are before me. So demons, friends, are perched waiting for you to give them a permit, or we would say permission, to work havoc and wreak havoc in your life. Bring ruin to your life, because by your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. In other words, there's no inconsequential words. You're judged by the own words of your mouth. You'll never rise above your own level of confession. There's no insignificant, unimportant words. Words matter, we said before. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you can be speaking death and not know it because of listening to news, negativity through the social media, or just junk. And that, what happens? Garbage in, garbage comes out. But so praying in the Holy Spirit keeps you from getting contaminated by the world. You know how to speak to news. I like how Brother Copeland used to do it sometimes. I mean, Creflo Dollar used to always tell on him. He said, I'd be watching the news or something, and Brother Copeland, by the Spirit, or somebody through the TV. But he'd be speaking to the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit. Because all situations require us to respond. But for the believer, our response should be spiritual response and not an emotional or natural response. This will help you when it comes to your family. Because some of us struggle when family matters flare up and then we don't know how to respond, and we always respond emotionally or through the flesh. We should be responding with the Spirit. We should learn the vocabulary of silence that the Holy Spirit keeps us from contaminating the situation even further and exacerbating that poison, that be able to stand up and speak the work of the enemy through an unwitting person in the family. And you got to be able to stand up and speak it right. Be like Ezekiel and say, dry bones live. I prophesy to it. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Number seven, what do you say, number seven? Okay, number seven, praying in tongues enables us to pray for the unknown. So sometimes we don't know who or what we're praying about, what we are to pray about. That's the limitation, just being natural in here and not being able to see into the spirit realm 24/7. But the Holy Spirit's in that realm, so he can help us, amen? He helps us pray for the unknown, amen. Isn't that good? So let's be responsive to him when he wakes us up or asks. Praying in tongues gives us spiritual refreshing. Number eight, praying in tongues gives us spiritual refreshing. Isaiah 28. Let's turn there. This is good stuff. I know I'm already glad I came. All right. What does he say to us? Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. He's talking about tongues. Isaiah's forecasting tongues, prophesying about it. For whom he said, this is rest, the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. So this is rest and refreshing. And sometimes, you know, people miss, you know, like you say, well, I got to stay home, I'm tired. Well, I got to do this, I'm tired. You know, flesh wears out. The outward man perishes, the Bible says. But the inward man is renewed day by day. This is part of your renewal package. God promises us peace and rest. In the Psalms, he said, I will lay me both down, both things, to with peace and sleep. For you, O Lord, will give me rest or make me dwell in safety. Amen? It's spiritual rest. Oftentimes, our mind and our bodies can't rest because our spirit's not at rest. So you get the rest and refreshing coming through your spirit, then you can work, like some of these guys have said, they're 85, 87 years old, and they're working 15 hours a day. And they said they only require 5 hours sleep, and they feel like they slept for 8-10 hours, and they can still go at it again another 15 hours. What kind of strength, what kind of energy is that? That's spiritual energy, ladies and gentlemen. That is spiritual energy. It is spiritual rest and refreshing. Just like you drink a cup of water when you're thirsty, it's bringing that refreshing and rest and restoration to your spirit. This prevents burnout.
Amen.
This prevents boredom. And this definitely prevents bitterness. Isn't this a good benefit?
Amen.
So you just get in the rest. Everybody say, get in the rest. So you're too blessed to be stressed, ladies and gentlemen. You stay in the rest. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Spend time praising God, worshiping God, because that's what it's for, right? For prayer, praise, and worship. So this is where your praise and worship comes. You get in that presence of God and get rest and get refreshed. Praise God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And then number 9. Thank you, John, for putting those up. Appreciate you. Tongues are for giving thanks. He talks about blessing food. Now, again, a good example was, again, Brother Copeland. He was overseas, and they ministering in the bush, in the jungle, or some foreign third world country. And he said, they put stuff in front of you. You don't even know what it is. But your body needs food and water. Your spirit needs food and water. Well, how do you bless? Well, he talks about it in the scripture. How can he that come occupy the unlearned say amen at that giving of thanks? He said, verily, you give thanks well. You give thanks well. Why? Because food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. He said, for all, every creature is good and good for food. Now, I know a doctor might tell you you can't eat that. They got to do their job. But God said that every creature is good, New Testament, and good for food. If, watch this, this is a condition, if it be received with thanksgiving. So sometimes we don't realize the power of thanksgiving. He said, if it be received with thanksgiving, he said, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You're not saying grace when you bless your food. Could you say grace? Well, that's religious tradition expression. You're calling that food into the ministry. You're calling those steak and potatoes in the ministry. You're energizing your body and feeding your body so that it can carry your spirit on earth to do the work that you've been assigned and called to. You're not just eating the pig out, binge out, and then you lay out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason your body is to have energy is to keep your spirit moving around. Because your spirit's not been glorified. Your body's not been glorified, and you're not. Your body has not been redeemed. It's been purchased by God, but it's not been fully renovated yet in the redemption package. That means we got to get a new body. But until then, amen, you need to eat. You need to get water. You got to feed it and hydrate it. But God says, do it with thanksgiving. But when you don't know what you're eating, you over somebody's house and they're putting all these dishes together, you see them cook nothing, what you should be doing? Praying in the spirit. Not that you're suspicious, but you're being spiritual. I mean, some people have food allergies. Their body reacts to certain kinds of food. But how do you sanctify that? How do you sanctify your body from getting harmed or injured through it? When you're in Africa, sister, you got to be praying in the spirit over that monkey meat.
Yeah.
Or they might put a snake in front of you in the Amazon. You give thanks. Everything's good for food if it be received with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tongues of forgiving thanks. So when you don't know what to eat, you're eating. Pray in the spirit. Even when you're at a restaurant, new restaurant, you don't know who's cooking back there. You don't know if they got it all together. Maybe they're food safety violations. You being nice and cordial, but you be praying in the spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you not walking down there then hugging the porcelain at home. Praise God. Y'all know what that means. Well, you got to have fun with you. I'm freaking. Okay. All right. So speaking in tongues brings the tongue under subjection. We talked about that earlier. So it helps you keep your tongue in line. Your tongue is a tiny member, but it controls your whole body, James says. Your speech center exercise, according to neurologists, exercises dominion over all the other centers of your body. What you say matters. So speaking in tongues helps control, bring your tongue under subjection. So under subjection to what? To the word and the spirit. Because if you mute up in the morning and you don't say nothing, you never get anything. You and I, as we walk by faith, is speaking the word of God, speaking your expectations that have been focused on the word of God. It's your faith's investment in the word. You don't invest your faith in the word of God unless you say something. Faith begins by talking. So you got to be able to get your tongue in line, because your body don't want to get in line. It wants to say what it feels. It wants to say what it sees. That's why you can't get up and start looking at all your text messages and emails and the news, and then your flesh gets all stirred up. Then your flesh gets stirred up, you're going to be chewing on your brothers and sisters. I know what your flesh acts like, because I know how mine's act like. Amen. So before you get your flesh stirred up, get your spirit stirred up. Pray it in the spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's talk real quick as we close about a couple other little quick things I'm going to give you. Next 5 minutes or so. And then we're going to pray in the spirit. Misconception. So how do you take this beautiful information and push it to others? Because remember what Paul said in Acts chapter 19. Ephesus church had gotten the baptism of John. The only thing they'd been was baptized in water for repenting. This was all natural responding. They weren't even born again. See, we got to be able to take the message. Remember, he said, the reason we have the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and other Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. So we're supposed to be a witness of the Lord. They ought to see that power of the Holy Spirit working in us more effectively in our life. Amen? And we know, for example, just level-wise, if we look at the levels, the whole new birth is like the well level. Well, you know what a well does in dry drought seasons, like we've had sometimes in San Antonio when they have water restrictions and stuff because of no rain for a while. That well will dry up. They always talk about the aquifer. The aquifer is at this level. Well, that's what happens in a well. You can only get so far with just the new birth. Then the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 7, he that believeth on me, as scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. So that's the river level. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You got to tell, this is bigger than a well. It's a river. And then he talked about the rain. And that's where the anointing and the power of God gets in. See, the beginning is just a river, but the rain is the water in filler level. The river runs over when the water, when the rain comes down. The well gets filled up when the water comes down. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit, because it's a progression But we need to be able to articulate that to people we know who are unstable, who seem like they're struggling in their Christian walk, that Jesus would not have told us you don't need the Holy Spirit. He would have told us not to receive the Holy Spirit if we did not need him. So it's important that you both pray and practice a spirit-filled life around your family so that experience becomes attractive to them. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us hardcore and bitter and boring. People should see that I want what you have. You've got power. Okay? So let's look at some misconceptions that people argue or put up, okay? The first one, misconception means these are all wrong concepts, because there's a lot of confusion about tongues, and so we want to kind of give you some of the quick major ones that people argue. You aren't saved unless you're baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. Now, again, there are some who say you're not really saved until you're baptized in a certain kind of baptismal formula and you speak in tongues. Well, that's not correct, because Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 17, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. In other words, the world does not receive the Holy Spirit. The world has to receive salvation by faith through grace in Christ Jesus. So the world needs Jesus. The Christian needs the Holy Spirit. And Paul said to the Ephesian church, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard if there be such a thing called the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people don't even recognize, you know, the person of the Holy Spirit. Number two, misconception. You see it here on the board. Tongues aren't for everyone. Well, we just read 1 Corinthians 14:5. I wish that you all speak with tongues. Now, what people misconfuse is the ministry gifts of tongues, which is the diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Because he said, but I'd rather you prophesy in the church, though. Lest, remember, because tongues, pray in tongues, unless you interpret what you pray and say in tongues. Remember, because tongues are not for preaching and teaching, that the church may receive edification. Because if you just babble out in tongues, it's not helping us. It's helping you, but it's not edifying the church. But if you give a ministry or a message in tongues and you interpret it, now the church can get edified. Tongues builds you up. Prophecy builds the church up. But tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. So it's like 2 nickels equals 10 cents, like a dime. Prophecy is a dime. Tongues with interpretation of tongues is the 2 nickels. Everybody see that? Okay. Number three. You can't pray in tongues at will. Now, a lot of denominational Pentecostal churches are stuck on that because they think you got to get a goosebump or wash the right organ. Then they start the chicken wing. They got the back click. So, but in other words, they're looking for a feeling before they yield to speaking in tongues. It's not based on a feeling. You can speak in tongues by faith in the name of Jesus. Father, I don't know how to pray about this situation, but I'm yielding my spirit to the Holy Spirit to pray. Help me pray what I don't know what I need to pray about, and start speaking in Jesus' name. You start praying in the spirit. Amen? So you can do it at will. Scripture and verse. I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. What then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will is a matter of choice. I choose to do it as I will. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Remember, when your spirit prays, it's in tongues. When your spirit sings, it's in tongues. When your spirit talks, it's in tongues. When your mind or body talks, it's in English or whatever language you're using. This is good stuff. Some people say, well, all tongues are for prayer. No, all tongues aren't for just prayer. You don't just have to pray in tongues. You can speak in tongues, because sometimes the Lord speaks to you in tongues. You can talk to the Lord. He said, he that speaketh, 1 Corinthians 14:2, in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but who? Unto God. You're speaking to God. But he goes on to tell us, when I pray within the spirit, my spirit prayeth. It's my spirit praying. So he's talking about speaking. He's talking about praying. You could also be singing or praising in tongues. Amen? Amen. So these are things that you can kind of help people kind of get a right concept about. Then last one, tongues are not just the ability to speak in a foreign language. And again, it's not natural learned language, it's spiritual utterance. You speak as the Spirit gives, what? Utterance. Amen. So that's what he's talking about. Now there's some excess of things that you want to stay away from real quick. Number one, these are excessive. Don't get off out in the ditch on the side with this. Fighting the devil in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaketh in other tongues speaketh not to men, speaketh not to angels, but to who? But to God. So you can't war. People came around some time ago, way back in the early 80s, and then the 90s it kicked up again. Warfare tongues. They feel like battling the devil. Well, he doesn't respond to your vocal cords either. He responds to your authority in the name of Jesus. So you're not yelling at the devil in tongues. People used to wear battle dress uniforms, military garb, get in helicopters, say, I'm pulling down strongholds. No, strongholds are in your mind. There's no such thing as warfare tongues. That came out. That was pretty popular. He said, making war in the heavenlies. Well, there was a war, but the war's over. And remember this, friends, authority is not attached to the volume of one voice. Don't think that you're praying better because you're praying louder. You can just be loud and just run your voice out. But you can pray just as powerfully under your breath in other tongues. And you don't exert power over the devil by shouting in tongues at an ear-deafening pitch. This is good stuff. I think we need to make a recording of this for people to listen to. Okay. Number two, praying loudly in tongues brings more power. Well, we just talked about that. God is not hard of hearing. That's right. But he's also not nervous, and he can hear you softly, and he can hear you. It's by doing it by faith, according to the word of God, in Jesus' name. You're doing it right, he's hearing it. You're talking to him. You can be at the table or at a meeting at work in a business affair situation. You're praying in the spirit under your breath. You're not talking to them. That's why you're not talking out loud where they can hear you. You're talking under your breath, and God hears it. Amen? And then excess number three is, you know, they get into these things, people trying to create a move of God, and they call it travailing prayer. And they used to call it groaning meetings. And so people get emotional in prayer and really fanatical in prayer, thinking that's going to be more effective because God's responding to my emotion, my crying, my groaning. I mean, they would have meetings like, you know, you get people in the room and they say, okay, now groan, because they talk about groaning and travailing. God responds. And so people were trying to manufacture that in the flesh. It's not about manufacturing some sort of pain and travail in the flesh. Now, Paul travailed, but it was in the spirit for the church of Galatians. My little children, whom I travail in birth again. Galatians 4:19, until Christ be formed. He was praying for their spiritual growth and development, but it meant the intensity of his prayer was one of intercession and supplication, not one of fleshly travail and making all this to do in the body. We have to be cautious about that, because the devil will try to twist you up and get you down the line. You think you become very an emotional basket case in prayer, and you're thinking, okay, I'm doing a lot of stuff, but you're really not doing anything. God's not impressed with our flesh. Well, let me keep going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. I'm almost done. And so these things, we want to pray under the Holy Spirit's anointing in intercession and in supplication. You have to let the Holy Spirit yield your spirit to the Holy Spirit, and he will bring you into a state of travail. But it's for a specific target. It's for a specific purpose. It's not for you to just sit there and groan and moan and try to manipulate God into something. Well, praise God. Excess number four, doing what does not edify in the presence of the unlearned. So again, when we have evangelistic services, you get that in your spirit. We don't have to go around and tell everybody, oh, we're having an evangelism service today. We got a whole bunch of guests and visitors. You got to have enough sense, right? You see guests in the church. In other words, to yourself and God. The spirit of the prophet is subject to who? The prophet. In other words, that doesn't edify the unlearned, the scripture said. We read that. If somebody comes in unlearned means they don't know about the things of the spirit. They don't even know about Jesus. So you don't go babbling in other tongues like you're a maniac right next to them. Amen? Paul said, I'd rather speak, I'd rather speak one or two words in with my understanding than 1,000 words in tongues, and nobody gets anything. You don't edify someone who's ignorant and unlearned about the things of the spirit when you just run off and act goofy. There's more to be said about that. I'm getting out of time. So, amen? So have enough spiritual consciousness and awareness that when people are uneducated, unlearned, and ignorant about the things of the spirit or things of the word of God, and they're candidates for salvation. You pray for them, but you pray. Like even when we do altar calls, we say, Christians softly praying in the spirit. Softly. Don't pray like Sister Francis would be praying, and then somebody way over here behind Brother Steve says, hear her. That's not softly. That means speak to yourself and to God. Good stuff?
Amen.
But we don't want to cause damage or cause confusion. They may say, well, I like them preaching and messing, but some of the people are weird. Because the misuse of tongues is really unedifying. It's out of place and it's out of order. That's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm covering all this because I got to go to angels and demons and get that in before the end of the month. So praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Everybody get something out of that today?
Amen.
Come on, lift your hands and just begin to pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. John, I don't know.